14 minutes after 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarts, just a high five away from Matt Douglas. You have us until 6 o'clock tonight having all kinds of fun as we lead you into All-Star Weekend. We had Carlos Baerga about a half hour ago. That was a lot of fun. And well, there are all kinds of cool things happening between now and the Midsummer Classic. We're going to continue to talk some baseball as we head to the hotline, as we have both Ken Krasolovic and Brian Fritz joining us right now. They co-authored the book League Park. Gentlemen, thank you so much for the time today. How are you guys?
Great.
We're doing good.
Thanks for having us on.
We appreciate you guys coming on, and you guys have been very, very busy in recent weeks making the rounds in Cleveland, promoting the book, and I know you guys will be busy this week as well. You'll also be busy on All-Star Weekend. Let's get into the book itself, a comprehensive history of League Park, and you know, it goes beyond the scope of baseball. I think a lot of folks know at least a little something about the history of baseball at League Park, but you guys actually dive into some other events that took place. What other kinds of events outside of baseball went down at League Park?
Well, boxing, of course, took place there. Johnny Kilbane was the toast of the town in Cleveland in the early 1900s as the featherweight champ. And, of course, plenty of football.
Oh, absolutely. There was high school games and college games and professional. That's where professional football started in Cleveland, was at League Park.
One of the most ironic, interesting things we didn't find out until after the book was published, but there was an opera held at League Park in 1916, wisely enough, on the summer solstice, so the longest day of the year, so they had daylight enough to perform an opera at League Park.
An opera? Holy cow. I mean, I could only imagine how tough that might have been. I mean, a ballpark is designed for many things. An opera, that doesn't really seem like it was one of them, but I think that's the beauty of League Park, was that it was used as a venue that could do so many different things. And I know that you guys highlight a lot of the amazing events that were held there and a lot of amazing people that in some form or fashion were associated with League Park. Well, who are some of the names that are included in this book?
You know, everybody, you know, when they talk about League Park, they'll mention, you know, Babe Ruth's 500th home run. Or, you know, often you talk about, you know, the 1920 World Series, and of course, Game 5 gets the most of the play with the unassisted triple play by Bill Wamsgans, the first ever Grand Slam in a World Series, and the first home run by a pitcher in a World Series. But there was so much more, and some things that were never mentioned. You know, Walter Johnson struck out his 3,000th batter at League Park. Just the number of amazing things that happened there. It was really an inordinate amount of great opportunities, great things that occurred there. And really, you know, the park doesn't get its just due against, you know, Fenway or Ebbets Field or whatever. Those tend to be more storied, but honestly, the number of stories are just as good, if not honestly way better per capita, if you will, at League Park.
Cy Young, for example, pitched the opening day in 1891. And when they rebuilt the ballpark in 1910, he was back with Cleveland and pitched opening day on that day as well.
I mean, what are the chances of that 20 years later, you know, that the same pitcher and the greatest, winningest pitcher in baseball history happened to open the ballpark both times? Just the number of stories, incidental moments, you know, the greatest comeback in baseball history, 1901, Cleveland's losing, the first year of the American League, Cleveland's losing to Washington 13-5 with two outs in the bottom of the ninth and rally for a 14-13 win. It just is amazing. The list goes on and on of all the great things that occurred there. And, of course, you're asking names. I mean, you know, again, Bob Feller, and we mentioned Cy Young. Napoleon Lajoie of Cleveland was, you know, he was, we like to say during our presentations, he was LeBron, Jim Brown, Bob Feller, and Baker Mayfield all rolled into one. That's how popular he was in Cleveland. He was absolutely the idol of the city. And, of course, when he was the player manager, they named the team the Naps for Napoleon Lajoie. I mean, could you imagine if they had changed the basketball team to the Cleveland LeBrons?
Hey, they just might someday. You never know. But well, I've got to throw this out there, guys, because, you know, Ken, you've got quite the extensive background, not only as an athletic administrator in college, but you've coached. You've also got an extensive play-by-play career as well. You know, Brian, you're the senior prosecutor for the city of Cleveland as well, so you guys have different backgrounds. What led you guys to collaborate on this book?
Goofy.
We played softball together, and as it turned out, we both had a very good interest in stadiums. I collected postcards, and in fact, I have well over 1,000 postcards of stadiums. Ken collected some too, and we got talking about that, and then we just decided, wow, you know, it's pretty neat. So we talked over the years, and League Park kind of came up more and more, and we said, you know, we really should do something about it. And after many years of talking and a lot of work, finally we decided to do it, and this is what we got.
Well, Brian pushed me because back in about 2007 or so, maybe 8, Brian calls me up and says, hey, let's meet for lunch downtown at Slimans. I was working out of town at the time, and I was in town. He goes, come on down to Slimans, let's have lunch. I said, sure. So we go down there, and he hands me this stack of papers with all these little tidbits and whatnot. Brian, as you say, is a city prosecutor, so he works down at the Justice Center. Well, for about 2 years, he spent many of his lunch hours at the public library just going through microfilm of the old Cleveland newspapers and coming up with all these little tidbits and stories and whatnot. He hands me this stack of stuff, little tales and whatnot, and so I weaved it together. You know, I was a journalism major as an undergrad, and, you know, we found what holes were there. I sent Brian back to the library and say, you got to find this. And, you know, we wrote different sections and really put the whole tale together, and it was really rewarding because, you know, there's sections or, you know, there's all kinds of stadium books out there, and a lot of the same mistakes were made over and over. We clarified a lot of things that were incorrect for many years, really got the whole thing out there and found out so much, much more that had happened there that really was almost, you know, I felt like would have been lost to time.
I'm curious with you guys. Did it start as kind of an architectural fascination with League Park and then turn into the stories behind it, or had you always been curious about everything that went on inside?
Yeah, I think it was more just because we like stadiums and the stories of stadiums. I mean, obviously architecture plays a part of that, but I think one of the things that happened too was when Ken was at John Carroll and I was helping out doing football stats. We realized John Carroll had played there for 5 years of football. So it was like, that's kind of, you know, piqued my interest about the place. And then you just start reading more about what happened at different places. And, you know, the history of League Park certainly compares favorably and probably even more so than Ebbets Field or Wrigley Field or Fenway or, you know, any of the other iconic ballparks.
And honestly, it is a story of architecture, no question. And the book, you know, chronicles how it developed, how the ballpark wound up there, et cetera. And when we do our presentations, it gets into, you know, again, it's more than just stories of baseball games. Really, it's the politics of the city. It's urban geography. There's all kinds of, you know, tales that weave around this. And again, it's amazing how that ballpark intersected the history of so much of the most famous parts of baseball, and you know, even the Federal League in the 19-teens. Well, Cleveland didn't have a team, but the story of how League Park impacted that and why Cleveland didn't have a team is part of it. You know, and then you go to the baseball stories and DiMaggio getting his 56th. Consecutive game hitting happened at League Park before the streak was broken. You know, Ted Williams hits the only inside the park home run of his career to win a game 1-0 in 1946 in League Park, and it clinches the pennant in a 1-0 game for the Red Sox over the Indians. So again, it just goes on and on. It's an amazing array of stories that have taken place there.
We are speaking with Ken Krasolovic and Brian Fritz, the authors of the book League Park. They're joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Guys, I've got to ask this question because you threw the opera out there earlier, and League Park, as you know, we've learned here the last few minutes, and you guys have kind of learned over the last 20 years or so. Maybe it's longer than that, I don't know. But, you know, there are so many unique events that seem that happened at League Park. You threw the opera out there earlier. Was that perhaps the most unique event that happened non-sports related at League Park, or are there some other gems out there?
Well, obviously the boxing matches were important, and you had the, you know, when Johnny Kilbane was the champion of the world, he had some boxing matches there. And then the football games, I mean, probably one of the interesting things that happened was Ohio State played a game there. They played against Western Reserve back in the 30s. Sam Willimon had been the coach at Ohio State. He moved to Western Reserve, and I guess it was a lateral move, maybe. but they played a game there the next year then, and Ohio State scored 76, and Western Reserve scored nothing. So that was the last time Western Reserve or John Carroll or Baldwin Wallace or Case Tech ever played Ohio State in football.
I mean, they could do it today, I suppose, because when you do that, you get a gigantic payday. But I'm just not so sure it's worth the national embarrassment at that point, is it?
No,
it'll never happen again. But it is amazing. Again, non-sports related, not that much, but oddball sports things. Of course, you know, you can talk about the Cleveland Rams. Yeah, you know, their predecessors, the old Cleveland Indians football team that played there. There was. Much later than, of course, the Cleveland Buckeyes or the Negro Leagues. So, again, the history of sports weaves its way through there. There were never lights in the ballpark, but there were temporary lights installed once when the House of David team came and played against the Negro League team at League Park. So they strung some temporary lights up and played a night game. Crazy things that happened there. It's really amazing.
And even in the winter, when back in many years ago when they decided at League Park, well, maybe they should use it to set up like a winter carnival-type atmosphere, and that's what happened at Progressive Field not that long ago.
Yeah, they had ice skating at League Park the one year. They flooded the field. And, yeah, that really came to happen again. If you remember a couple of years back, Progressive Field put in an ice rink.
Very cool stuff. Well, I know you guys are busy throughout the course of the week. You guys are out at Mentor tonight. You guys this weekend, I believe you'll be at Goldhorn Brewery downtown as well, correct?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That came about through the good folks at the Baseball Heritage Museum. I do some stuff for them, and so Brian and I will both be there on Saturday and Sunday. I'll also be there on Friday and then the day of the All-Star Game. So I believe we have seven presentations at Goldhorn during All-Star Weekend. Two on Friday, those are at 1 and 4. Saturday is noon and 4. Sunday is 1 and 4, and then 11 a.m. on Tuesday, the actual day of the All-Star Game. And Brian will be there with me on Saturday, Sunday. I'll be by myself on Friday and on the Tuesday, but a chance to come down. And we have a really cool PowerPoint presentation with lots of neat photos showing the history and the evolution of the ballpark. And, you know, some of these sideline stories come to light when we talk about them. There's a great one that I think is Brian's favorite about Rube Marquardt, former Clevelander, grew up in Cleveland and wound up pitching against the Indians in the 1920 World Series, and he had his own set of escapades.
Very fun stuff. Now, I got to imagine, before we let you guys go, that this has got to be a really fun week, or week and a half, rather, leading up to the All-Star Game. You know, two Cleveland guys, and you know, this has to be a blast for you guys, being able to be a part of this entire week and weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just being a part of it and seeing the excitement and all the things that are going on in downtown and with the All-Star Game. You know, I think the exposure is great for Cleveland, and the exposure for League Park with what they've done with it is also pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's, you know, the museum itself at League Park is going to be open for extended hours this weekend. It is not a League Park museum. It's a small museum, but it certainly contains League Park artifacts, but it's the Baseball Heritage Museum at League Park. Bob Zimmer is the guy whose collection was the basis of the museum, and he's got a lot of things about Latin baseball and Negro League baseball, amateur baseball in Cleveland. So there's all kinds of different things that the museum itself touches on, and there's going to be a tournament going on down there. It's sponsored by Major League Baseball with amateur youth teams from all around the country are going to be participating and playing on the field down there. The museum itself is going to be open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then on All-Star Game Day itself, 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. So lots of extra hours for all the people from out of town and for the local folks who haven't had a chance to get down there, a great opportunity to get down there and see all the artifacts and get a chance to look at the remnants of League Park and of course, the beautifully restored field.
Sounds like it'll be a great time this weekend, no question about that. Again, the book is titled League Park, Historic Home of Cleveland Baseball, 1891 to 1946. This book is available on Amazon?
Oh, yeah, all the online sites.
Very good stuff. Well, guys, this was a lot of fun. Ken, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. This was a blast to kind of take a trip back through time and take a look at League Park and all the unique events that it's hosted throughout the course of the years and all the baseball stars that played there as well. Guys, we appreciate it. Best of luck this week, and hopefully we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, anytime. Let us know when we can help you out.
Thank you guys again very much. Again, Ken Krasolovic and Brian Fritz, they co-authored the book League Park, Historic Home of Cleveland Baseball, 1891 to 1946.